Shall we pray? Eternal Rock of Ages, we bless you tonight. We are grateful to you, Lord, for the love you have for us. We know your desire for us, Lord, is that everything will be well with us. And so, Lord, we pray that as we hear your word tonight, we pray, Lord, that our lives will not remain the same. We pray that you will help us, Lord, so that our lives will be pleasing unto you. For in Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord once again. The last Bible study that I took here, we spoke on Psalm 19 verse 14. And that will still be the text of our message tonight. Psalm 19 verse 14. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I remember I said that day that psalm was a psalm of David, and that he was asking for help with two things: the word of his mouth, the meditation of his heart. I said that day that David was more qualified to understand these statements clearly. We spoke about 2 Samuel 11, where he went to relax at the terrace of his palace one evening. He saw a beautiful lady having a bath in another building. He thought about how beautiful it would be to sleep with her. He eventually did, and the lady got pregnant. And then David thought on what to do. He ultimately became a murderer. And that particular situation in that scripture messed up his life. Praise the Lord. And that day, I remember we said the topic then will be watch your tongue. But tonight, we will do the second part, which is the meditation of the heart. So the topic will be guard your heart. Guard your heart. So when you talk about meditation, it's a continuous or extended thought, reflection, or contemplation. When you talk about meditation, it's a serious thought or study, or the product of this activity. Meditation of the heart is a deep thought, or extended thought of the heart. It's deeper than, you know, just a flash. You actually think about it. So when the Bible says, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your heart, in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, he knows that some things can come to your heart. A lot of things will come to your heart. God will not look at that. He will not judge that. But it is the one you dwell on, that you meditate upon, that you think deeply upon. You continue to think about, that is the one that can make or mar you. So what is it with the heart? The heart refers to the mind and the heart in Western terminology. You know, when you talk about mind, you talk about the heart. It's both. Now, in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The NLT version says, it determines the course of your life. It determines the course of your life. Hence, your heart determines the course of your life. It determines who you are, what you are all about, and how you handle life. Your heart determines that. The NET version says, it is the sources of life. The sources of life. So which means that your heart is the source of everything you do. No wonder in that scripture, King Solomon was saying, it is the wellspring of life. It is the source of everything else in your life. Your heart overflows into thoughts, into words, and actions. So when David said, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, he knows that it is what is in your heart that your mouth will speak. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So, you see, when you talk about spring, natural spring, for instance, is where water flows to the surface of the heart from deep under the ground. It then accumulates in pools or runs off into creeks and streams. Now, if you block it or plug up the spring, you stop the flow of water. If you poison the water, the flow becomes toxic. You remember what happened when the people said, "Our Lord, this water you see, I mean, our everything is fine with us, but our water is barren, is bitter." Now, the man of God did not just go into the water, he went to the source. He went to the source and he poured the cruse of salt. So he healed the water or the stream from the source. So everything that started flowing afterwards became clean. And once what is clean keeps coming, the polluted one will disappear. So the same thing, when he says, out of your heart comes the issues of life, the source of life, the wellspring of life. It means that, you see, that heart is so important. If anything is not flowing from your heart, ultimately it will disappear. And if your heart is poisoned, if your heart is corrupted, it flows into every part of your life. So, if your heart is unhealthy, it has an impact on everything else. It threatens your family, your friends, your ministry, your career, and indeed your legacy, what you are going to leave behind. It is therefore your God-given responsibility to guard your heart. And because you need to guard your heart, because your heart is under constant attack. Constant attack. When Solomon said, guard your heart, it implies that you are living in a combat zone. Combat zone. One in which there are casualties. Many of us are oblivious of the reality, or to the reality of this war. We have an enemy who is bent on our destruction. He not only opposes God, but he opposes everything that is aligned with him, including us. So the fact that, that's why the Bible says, he that thinketh he stands, you take it, lest he fall. Even you that you call yourself a good Christian, the guy is all out to fight with you. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17, the Bible says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God. You can see that the fact that you are a Christian makes you a candidate that the devil is against. The remnants of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. He said the dragon went after them to war. So, you are seated, but the devil is out there to war against you. Constant battle. And that battle usually is in the heart. It's your heart. These attacks often come in the form of some circumstances that leads to disappointment, discouragement, or even disillusionment. It may also come by way of temptation, lust. It will come in your heart. You see, funny enough, the thoughts of our hearts are not noticeable, or cannot be deciphered by others. Whatever I'm thinking about, as you are seated now, whatever you are thinking about, I don't know. What I'm thinking about as I'm talking to you now, you don't know. You don't know. Only me knows what I'm thinking about. Only me know what I'm... And God. It's only you that knows what you are thinking about. And then God knows your thought. So thoughts are intangible. They can't be touched. They are not visible, but they are very potent. Your thoughts are very potent. Very, very powerful. That thought of your heart can destroy everything about you. Your thought can also make you a great man. So I say that you are a product. That's what the Bible says. You are a product of your thoughts. In Proverbs 23 verse 7, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." I just stop at that. He says, "Eat, drink, say, set it to thee, but his heart is not with thee." I said this some time ago. Somebody can be telling you, "Eat, dine with me, eat, enjoy." He may be smiling at you. He may be playing with you. But his heart is not with you. That's what the Bible says. Your heart, it is what you are thinking that makes you. It's not even about the way you are smiling at people. It is your thought that determines who you are. There are some terrible products of the heart. Terrible products of the heart. Romans chapter 1 verse 29 to 31. It says, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, which is strife, deceit, malignity, which is hostility, whisperers or gossips, boasters or backbiters or slanderers, haters of God, despiteful or insolent, proud or arrogant, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding or senseless, covenant breakers, without natural affection," or what they call heartless, "implacable." You can't plead. There's nothing you say. You can't plead. They will not accept. "Unmerciful, ruthless person." These are the things that a corrupt mind or heart can produce. Let's look at pride, for instance. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 17. It says, "And thou say in thine heart," "my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth." You say in your mind, and God sees that you say in your mind that my prosperity, what I have, is by my power. It's arrogance. You have forgotten that there's nothing that you have or that you own or that you are that is not from God. Since you say in thy heart, you see, some people will be acting, say, "We bless the Lord. We bless the Lord." But in their heart, they are standing. They are looking at you like a nobody. God will see that heart. That is your thought process. That's what you're thinking about. He says so that you will not say in your heart, "My power and the might of mine has gotten me this wealth." He didn't stop at that. Some people also will tell you that it's because they are spiritual. What is going on with you is because you are not spiritual. We are spiritual. Look at it in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 4. He says, "Speak not thou in your heart." Don't say that in your heart. "After that the Lord thy God has cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness," because I am holy, "for my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord does drive them out from before thee." He said, don't say that. God does not enjoy such. You remember those two people that were praying and Jesus Christ was looking? One was saying, "God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner." The other one said, "God, I think I'm better. At least I'm better than this other one." It's an abomination before God. And it's a product of the heart. Pride. Let's look at envy. James chapter 4 verse 5 says, "Do you think that the scripture said in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusted to envy?" You know, when man fell, a lot of things came. So the natural man, the spirit in the natural man, wants to envy. They are envious, jealous of others. That is a natural thing, but that's not what God wants. Those are the things that your heart will want to give you. He says, so we are saying tonight, guard your heart. Proverbs 14 verse 30 says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh." A sound heart is the life of the flesh. "But envy, the rottenness of the bones." Envy, the rottenness of the bones. He can see the way the scripture sees somebody who is envious. Some people, you can't just stand the success of others. You see, he's looking at me utterly. He's looking at me like I'm nobody. It's you. You remember some people that said the enemy saw them like grasshopper. The enemy did not say anything, no. But because somebody is rich or is making it, God has been kind to such person, you are angry. You are just envious of the success of others. It is not in the will of God for you to do so. It is not. Acts chapter 7 and verse 9. This is what even envy can lead to. It says, and the patriarchs moved with envy. The patriarchs here, they are the brothers of Joseph. You know, the 12, they are the patriarchs. That's how the Bible refers to them. It says, and the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. That's what envy can do. You start to plot evil because you are envious. Somebody that is successful, you'll be thinking, you'll be opening your heart that he will fail. You'll be secretly wishing that the guy will meet a brick wall, that he will not progress further. Wickedness, witchcraft, as a result of envy. So you can see that if somebody is better than you, you are not supposed, you can become a sinner if you don't manage your heart. And if you are better than somebody, pride can come in. You can also become a sinner if you don't take care of your heart. That's what he's saying. Insolence. So let's look at that also. Or despite, you know, somebody who is despiteful. 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 16. Insolence. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. She looked at her husband dancing and she despised him. She despised. You know, to despise is not just, it's very deep. The guy to her was like a rag. Like, what the hell? How can you despise another man? How can you despise a man for even worshipping his father, his God? But she despised him. And God saw. The Bible said here that it was in her heart, oh, and it was recorded. No man around will see, but God saw the state of your heart. So when David said, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you in thy sight, he knows what he's talking about. He knew it. Because it's deeper than we can imagine. He despised him in her heart. She did not stop at that. She spoke with disdain in verse 20 of that scripture. And then if you look at 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 23, she was punished for her thought. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. God locked her womb for being despiteful. Please watch your heart. Guard your heart. It can lead to a lot of trouble. It can cause a lot of confusions. Now, we talk about the heart. He said, guard your heart. The heart. The heart is powerful. Like I said, you don't see it. The way people think, the thought, you can't see it. You can't even feel it. But it's powerful. It's potent. It's potent. In the heart, defeat can come from your heart. Defeat. Deuteronomy 7:17 says, if thou shalt say in thine heart, if you will say in your heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Somebody's, you see, you can read further. Saying, it's already saying in his heart, this nation. So, you see, sometimes we call ourselves Christian, and then you wake up and you say, ah, it is not possible. This business is too much for me. How can I possess the land? How can I be successful? You don't know that is not, you are not acting in faith. So you are not walking according to the counsel of God. You are not. You have that defeatist spirit. It is not of God. But those are the thoughts. Those are the things that stays in the mind. And then, you see, I said defeat or discouragement is in the heart. Numbers 32 verse 9. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, those are the people of Israel, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel. You know, the people, scribes that were sent. They discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. God has given them all. But some of them discourage the heart of others. They discourage their heart because discouragement is from the heart. It's, that is in the heart. And look at what now happened in Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 28. It says, whither shall we go up? How shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Can you imagine? Some people said something to them, and then they thought about it, and they now confessed it and said, how can we go? Our brethren have already discouraged us. They've discouraged us. Thank God for David. You know, in his own time, the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He understood that principle. So many of us today are weak and scared because of the noise of the circumcised Philistines. A whole army was paralyzed out of fear for Goliath. A whole army. They couldn't do anything. Thank God for David. In the time of the one I mentioned now, when the heart of the people were already melted, only Joshua and Caleb could think right out of the 12 spies sent. The rest could only see the giants and saw themselves as grasshoppers. Are many of us not seeing ourselves as grasshoppers now when we hear of ice men? Even me, that I call myself pastor, you know that when you now say, let us travel to Kinikon, Kinikon, I'll be saying, makakakakaka. Look, okay, so I started thinking. So this X-Men and the situation in Nigeria is actually affecting my mind. And I'm sure it's affecting so many of us. But are we actually acting according to the purpose of God? Are we not fearful now? Are we not living in fear? Fear is of the devil. Fear is not of God. And it's in the heart. When you say travel now, if you say you are traveling, your family, everybody will be calling you every second, every minute. Where are you? Thank God. You see? Because, yes, we are Christian, but we are living in fear. So can we begin to see the enormous power of God and His ability to save us? The issue is that actions or prayers born out of fears are not effective. You know, many times, even churches, many times now when we pray in churches or as brethren, when you see people gather to pray or in church, they pray out of fear. They pray out of fear, not out of faith for what God can do. It is out of fear. And when you pray in fear, you are not achieving anything. The Lord will help us. And I'm sure that as you are seated, you begin to search your heart. You begin to look at yourself. Joshua 14 verse 8 says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I, wholly, followed the Lord my God. Others may be fearful, but I will choose not to be. I will choose. So you see somebody who is not fearful, who is living in faith, what it means is that they are following the Lord their God. Do you want to choose to follow God? Then don't allow fear. Fear has crept in. It has crept in into everything now. We need to save ourselves. We need to deliver ourselves from fear. Brethren, fear has torment. Fear has torment. And fear is of the devil. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. That is the expectation of God. When you operate something contrary, it is not of God. You know, I said, that those are the byproducts of the thoughts of the heart. things that can happen, negative ones, and you can be successful too. From the heart, success comes. It's from the heart. Before you can be a successful man, it is the product of your heart. Joshua 14 verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Then Joshua 14, 13 to 14. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. You see, he could have been angry. He could have been envious of Joshua. But he meditated on the promises of God. The promises of God to him, and worked on achieving it. You see, what he did was, he went to Caleb, to Joshua, and he said, you remember, this is what God said to me. Can you see, instead of the devil telling you it is over for you, you cannot make it, can't you sit back and remember what God said about you, and begin to think or dwell on the word of God concerning your life, concerning your situation, and let that word come to life? For Caleb, he allowed the word to come to life, and he got what he's supposed to get, the promise. You know, that promise did not come immediately that it was made to him, but it came afterward. So if you can hold on, you'll be successful. So success came for Joshua, for Caleb. You see, David that said, meditation of my heart, be acceptable. He understood one thing, that God looks into the heart. God sees the heart. 1 Samuel 16 verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You can see that the scriptures we have read, you will see that it will say in the heart. He said in his heart. And Micah despised David in her heart. And they were recorded. Why? Because God looks into the heart. See how God said to Solomon in 2 Chronicles 1:11. It says, and God said to Solomon, because this was in thy heart, in your heart. So, because this was in your heart, that is the one that is important to God. Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet has asked long life, but has asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. If you read it further, you now see blessing. He said, I will give you wisdom, I will give you everything, that no man on earth will be able to match you in prosperity. But because he saw the heart. What's the state of your heart? What is the state of your heart as you are seated? And to Solomon's father, David, in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 8, it says, but the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as it was in your heart to build an house for my name, as long as it was in your heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well. You have done well. Because it was in your heart, you thought about it, what you have in your heart was to do this for me, says you have done well. In that it was in thy heart. You can see the power of the heart. Because he said you have done well. Not because you said it. He said because it was in your heart. That's the one God deals with. The state of your heart. Hence, the condition of our heart is very important, as it determines how we will be judged. It's the heart. 1 Kings 15 verse 14 says, but the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord of all his days. Asa's heart was perfect. Can God say that about you? Can God say your heart is perfect? All his days. So how can we, quickly I will just rush this one, how can we guard our hearts? Because it's good for, we have said it's good to guard your heart, but we need to think about it. Now, how can we guard our hearts? I'll go to that same scripture where Proverbs chapter 4 that I read. You know, verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are issues of life. So I'll go to that chapter 4 and we'll look at a few things briefly. How do you guard your heart? Number one, mind what you hear. Mind what you hear through our ears. Mind what you hear. Proverbs 4:20-22 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all flesh. All their flesh. The words we hear affects our heart. 1 Samuel 21:12 says, and David laid up these words in his heart and was so afraid. He kept the word in his heart, and what happened afterwards was fear. So that word that was in his heart was a negative one. If you go through the book of Proverbs, you see that Solomon kept saying, my son, listen, listen. Why was he repeating? Because he understood that it is from the ear that you have access to your heart. So listen. Number two, mind what you watch through our eyes now. Proverbs 4:25 says, let thy eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Let your eyes look right on and look straight before thee. So, mind what you watch. Mind what you are looking at. You know, some people will just feel that you can watch anything. You watch some movie, you walk, whatever. It affects your heart. So, mind what you watch. Three, mind what you learn. That is through our minds now. Proverbs 4:4-5 says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Number, what's next? Okay. Okay, no. Okay, just further. Still on mind what we learn. I will say, store up the God's words in your heart. Deuteronomy 11:18. Read that when you get home. And then remember Joshua 1:8 as well. Now, number four. Mind where we go or where you go. Proverbs 4:26 says, ponder the path of thy feet. You know the meaning of ponder? Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. There are ways that lead to destruction. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Where you go can lead to death. Where you go can lead to destruction. So mind where your legs will carry you. Be mindful. You need God to achieve that though. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, pleasures. Then number five, mind your association. Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Association. Don't sit with the scornful. Don't take counsel from the ungodly. Don't stand with the sinners. They will pollute your mind. They will pollute your heart. Now let's briefly, in a short while, look at Abraham. Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. He says, after these things the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You see, this vision came after chapter 14, where Abraham had defeated some enemies. He had gone to war. He fought. And he rescued his nephew, Lot. After God spoke, Abraham told God of his fears. This is a man that fought a war. But God said, don't be afraid. I'm your exceedingly great reward. He said, he told God his fear. And what was his fear? He said, the fear was childlessness. If you read that scripture, in verse 2 to 6, you read verse 2 to 6. Childlessness. This was a man who could be termed prosperous or rich. A man who raised 318 soldiers in his own house. A man who won the battles that kings could not win. So a natural man, you think that his worry will be maybe a counter-attack or whatever. But when God said, don't worry, I'm with you, I'm your exceeding reward, the only thing that came to his mind, that was the product of his thoughts. He thought he would never have a child. That was what was his challenge. Friends, read that scripture, you will see. You see, a lot of battles goes on in our heart, daily. In our heart. If we dwell on the negative too much, we may end up not acceptable by God or to God. Dwelling much on the negative is a sign that you do not respect God or trust Him. Abraham expressed his fear to God. He expressed his fear. You see, sometimes you may try to avoid things, but they will drop it at you. There was a time I've opened my computer sometime, and lo and behold, pornography, whatever, on my screen. I looked around. People will say, maybe, Pastor, I didn't know how the picture came about. So, I did not ask for it, but they were pushing it on me. Now, things can come. You may try to be careful, and then challenges will come. And then, you have been praying, especially in a season like this now, a lot of people are frustrated. Things are not working for a lot of people. And then all that you think about, just like Abraham, is that, will this thing happen? Can this thing still change? No. Look at what Abraham did. He told God. So tonight, Abraham expressed his fear to God. So if you are here, and you know there are some unhealthy thoughts of fear in your heart, please go ahead and tell it to God. Just where you are seated now, you know. Your heart is where the battle is. You know there are some things that you try to let it go. It keeps coming. Abraham did not deceive himself. Don't deceive yourself. But he told God. And if you read that scripture that I read, Genesis 15, 1 to 6, you will see that God helped him. God now told him, you will have a child. Don't worry. That one that you thought it was not. God intervened. God will intervene in your situation tonight. But tell God how you feel. Are you afraid? Are you fearful? Are you afraid? Or you think you will not have a child again? Tell God, this is my challenge. I tried to overcome this. It's like my faith could not carry me. Help my unbelief. God will intervene in the name of Jesus Christ. Just tell it to God. Tell it to God in the name of Jesus. Friends, let me just conclude. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. May God help our thoughts. May our thoughts be acceptable to Him. May we not be judged by our thoughts. In the name of Jesus Christ.
My heart, and let it be consecrated. Take my moment, my days, let them flow in ceaseless. Take my heart, take my... We have all heard this message. So let's sing that song as a prayer to God tonight. Consecrated, Lord, today, take my moment, my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. I'd like you to pray tonight that, Father, this word will not stand against me. When there will be time for me to be questioned, Lord, this word that I have tonight, that I've had tonight, will not stand against me. Pray that for yourself. If you are watching online, please pray for yourself. Declare tonight that this word that I've had tonight will not be against me. In anywhere that I will get to, it will not stand against me. I'd like you to pray that for yourself. Make it a personal prayer, online, here in the church, whether you are just hearing alone, you are not seeing, please pray that prayer. And say, Father, tonight I have heard your word. Let it not stand against me. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed. I'd like us to pray a prayer in the area of Ahithophel's counsel. That was what caused David the trouble that he went through. He was not able to guard his eyesight. He watched and then he saw Ahithophel's grandchild down there. And that was what took him out of his way. I mean, Ahithophel became an enemy to David because Ahithophel killed the granddaughter's husband. Maybe you don't know. Granddaughter. It was Ahithophel's granddaughter that David killed the husband and then took Ahithophel's grandchild. That was the beginning of the trouble. Please pray tonight and declare that, Father, my eyes will not see evil. I will not fall into evil. My eyes will not see evil. My leg will not walk into evil. That was the scripture that our pastor quoted. In the period when kings go to war, David walked to the top of the roof and saw Bathsheba. Lord, tonight, my eyes will not see evil. My legs will not walk me towards evil. Please prophesy to your leg and say, my leg, hear the word of the Lord. You will not carry me into evil. My eyes, hear the word of the Lord. You will not see evil. In the name of Jesus. Please pray that for yourself. My ear, you will not hear evil. Oh, that was the beginning of the trouble of David. That was why Ahithophel became the enemy. Please pray for yourself tonight. That, Father, wheresoever I will go in this new week, in this month, my leg, hear the word of the Lord. You will not walk me into evil. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Now let's pray against every counsel of Ahithophel for our lives, for your business, for your grandchildren, for your family, for your career. The Bible said, Ahithophel's counsel was like God speaking verbally, bam. But God raised an Ushiah. You are going to pray against every counsel of Ahithophel for my life. Tonight, I declare, if you are watching, if you are hearing, please pray too. Every counsel of Ahithophel for my life, in this month of June, you will fail. Oh, every counsel of Ahithophel concerning my family and my home and my business and my career, you will not prosper. In the name of Jesus. Please pray for yourself. Please declare against every counsel of Ahithophel. Bring it down totally. And declare that concerning everywhere that the enemy has been taunting me, Ahithophel, you are no longer with me. Oh, you are no longer with me. Oh, you are no longer with me. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. And finally, Isaiah 51 verse 11 says, therefore, the Redeemer of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. It says, an everlasting joy shall be their portion. They shall obtain gladness and joy. Please pray for yourself tonight. Even in this tumultuous world, our pastor said sometimes fear will just come. Please pray for yourself. Gladness and joy, you will be my portion. You will be my partner. You will go with me. You will walk with me. You will smile with me. In my business, in my home, in my career, in my finance, in everywhere that I get to. Gladness, joy, you are my portion. Please confess it tonight. I perceive that some people are feeling very heavy in their hearts tonight. But please say it. Gladness, joy, you are my portion. Gladness, joy, you are my portion. Gladness, joy, you are my portion. Please make it a declaration for yourself tonight. And make it emphatic that tonight you will never remain the same. Because gladness and joy will walk with me. I will be joyful. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Can we shout a very loud hallelujah to our God? Please release your heart tonight. Let your heart be merry. Shout a bigger hallelujah. And for one more time, shout hallelujah. And so we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and that the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will go with us from this minute and forevermore. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please have a very beautiful evening. God bless you.
We would like to end today's broadcast without giving you an opportunity to know Jesus Christ.
Just say this short prayer after me. Lord, I've heard your word. Thank you because you have spoken to me. Jesus, I want you in my heart as my Lord and my Savior. Satan, I say no to you. Jesus, I give you my heart. Take control of my life. Take charge of my life. I thank you because you will do it. In Jesus' name we pray.